We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, 2 Kings chapter 4. We could read again verse 37. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 37. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. God is kind. He richly rewards us for even the least thing that we do for him. But God also tests us. And sometimes the test is very severe. Sometimes God takes from us the most precious thing we have. And that's hard. Hard to love, to love a husband, to love a wife, and that husband or wife to be taken from us. Hard to love a son or daughter, and that son or daughter to be taken from us. Hard to lose your health. Our health is precious. The Lord tests us. And you see, there's always a danger with us, that we make an idol out of things. You remember how much Abraham and Sarah loved their son Isaac. And God said to Abraham, go take your son and offer him as a sacrifice to me. It's hard to imagine a more difficult trial than that. For 3 days Abraham was walking with his son to Mount Moriah. And then he had to build the altar. And then he had to take his son and tie him onto that altar. And he had to take the knife. And it was only when he held up the knife that the voice from heaven said, stop. I see that you have not withheld from me your beloved son. God tests us. It's always dangerous to love something too much. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. And then to love other things as gifts from God, which cause us to worship God. God first and everything else second. Well, here, first of all, tonight, we have a woman of God. We're told that Elisha was passing through Shunem, where was a great woman. She seems to have been really outstanding. She quite outshone her husband. He is scarcely mentioned. But this woman was obviously a woman of wealth, yes, she and her husband had wealth, but a woman of great intelligence, and it would seem particularly a woman of great godliness, a great woman of faith, a huge example to others. God is calling to us, men and women, boys and girls, to be men and women of faith, to trust, to depend, to rely, to love God, to worship God, to follow God, to be outstanding for God. Now this woman, she saw Elisha the prophet walking past. She invited him in for a meal. And as he was going away, she said, now any time you're passing by, be sure to call in. Next time he came past again, she compelled him to come in for a meal, constrained him to come time and again. And so he made it his practice when he was passing by Shunem, he would call in at this house and he would get some food. And the great woman said to her husband, I see that this man is not just one of the prophets or the sons of the prophets, but he's a holy man of God. What a privilege it is to have a holy man of God in our home. We should make for him a special little room. Up on the wall, up in the loft. We'll make a little room for him there. A table and a chair and a bed and a candlestick. Just what he needs in order to be able to relax, to sit, perhaps to stay overnight. And he can come, he can have a siesta in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. But whenever he comes, he can use this room. It's such a privilege to have this man of God in our house. So they did that. And they prepared this, they made up this little room for him. Why did she do this? Because she loved God. And loving God, she loved the man of God. Do you love God? How do you show your love for God? How is your love of God demonstrated? Because love for God is not just a nice feeling. Love for God should be practical in the way we live and behave in this world. And remember what Jesus said. He spoke about the judgment day, and he said, on that judgment day there'll be some people, and I will say to them, come, you blessed. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they will say, when, Lord? When did we see you sick, or naked, or hungry, or thirsty, and helped you? In that you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So love shown to the brethren of Christ, to the sisters of Christ, is love shown to Christ, and a deed done for a fellow Christian is rewarded. Even simply a cup of cold water given in the name of Christ will not go unrewarded. Hospitality is greatly encouraged in scriptures. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Highly commended. What an example this woman is. Her kindness, her thoughtfulness, her love, her provision. And let us remember, good works are praised in Scripture. Sometimes we can be so careful to condemn good works as a way of salvation that we forget that the Christian is a person who should be characterized by good works. What is holiness? Surely it finds its expression in good works. It's not good works that earns a place for us in heaven, but good works are a way of giving thanks to God and expressing our love to God for all that he has done for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good work you did for us on the cross of Calvary. We could do nothing like that, but the little we can, we do. And what we can, we do for you and we do for your people. So we're not earning salvation by good works, but we are giving thanks to God. And that's the way you remember the Philippians when Paul was in prison. They sent to him a huge present, lots of nice things. And Paul said, in one sense, I didn't really need it, because I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content, whether hungry or thirsty or naked or whatever. He had learned as he had gone through the various trials and troubles of life to be content. But he said, I really appreciated the gift you gave. Why? Because it was an offering to God. A sweet, perfumed offering. It was so lovely because it was an expression of your faith. By showing this kindness, to me, really what you did was you gave a great big present to God, and God loves it, and I love it too. And that's the way it should be with us then, looking out for opportunities in order to help and to serve and to do good works. So we have here then, first of all, a woman of God. But then secondly, we notice the kindness of God to this woman. We have an amazing God. He's so kind. And he's so kind to the unworthy. So kind to worms. Filthy, stinking worms like us who sin against him in all kinds of horrible ways. And yet, he's so kind to us. So gracious. So good to us. And whatever little we do for him, we are rewarded 1,000 times. Whatever you give up for him, you don't lose out. Peter said, Lord, we have given up everything for you. And Jesus replied, there's nobody who gives up home and family and husband and wife and children for me and for the kingdom of heaven's sake, who shall not receive 1,000 times more in this life and in the world to come. Life everlasting. What you give up for the Lord, God gives you 1,000 times more. So here's Elisha then, resting in this nice little room that has been prepared for him. He's there, himself and Gehazi, his servant. And Elisha can feel in his spirit the Lord saying to him, this woman is to be rewarded. This woman is to be rewarded. So he says to Gehazi, call in the woman. And the woman comes in and he says, what would you like? Would you like me to speak to the king for you? I have connections. Would you like me to speak to the captain of the host? And the woman responded, I dwell among my own people. That was basically saying, I don't have any needs. God's been very good to me, and he's given me everything I want. I have a husband, I have a home, I have wealth and health and strength. Actually, there's nothing that I want. There's something lovely about that in one way, isn't there? Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's horrible to see discontented, grumbling Christians complaining, I don't have this and I don't have that and other people have this and I wish I was like that and I wish I lived there and I wish I had that kind of car or this kind of house. I wish I had more money and I wish I had this holiday or whatever it is. No. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if you have God, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be discontented. Having Christ, you have everything. But then, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, he's a perceptive kind of fellow, and he's noticed. So he says to Elisha, this woman, she has no children. And that was, it's always hard for a woman, a married woman, if she doesn't have children. Generally speaking, most women want to have children, but it was doubly so in Israel. There was a tremendous emphasis laid upon having children. And here was this woman. And Gehazi said, she's got no child. And her husband is old. So Elisha said, call her in. And then he spoke to her in the name of the Lord. God had revealed this to him. And he said, this time next year, you'll have a son. And she responded and she said, no, my Lord, please don't deceive me. Don't lift up my hopes. I've learned to be content with my childless state. I've been able to cope with this. Now, please don't deceive me and raise my hopes only to dash them again. But Elisha has spoken in the name of the Lord. And when God speaks, it comes true. And so the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. It happens. The Lord gives to her a huge gift. And you can imagine this woman, she'd been trying for years to have a child, and she holds her little baby in her arms. How wonderful to have this little boy, a healthy baby boy. And she's so thrilled, so delighted with it. And the little boy is growing up. Everything is going so well. Remember, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. That was written in the law. Why? Was it because God cared for oxen? No. It was a lesson to people. It was saying, when the ox is treading out the corn, threshing the corn, you were to allow the ox to eat the corn, and it was to be a parable to you. It was to tell you that when you are working for God, you will be paid. You will be rewarded. And when this woman made provision for the servant of the Lord, she was richly rewarded. She was given a child. And so last Tuesday night, you remember the verse we had in our meeting, bring ye the tithes into my storehouse, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you down a blessing, such as that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Prove me, try me out, come with the tithes, come with your offerings into my house, and see if I will not make you 1,000 times richer and more blessed than you have been before. That is the Lord in his great goodness providing for us. And so here's this woman, and she's got her lovely little boy, and she's rejoicing in the Lord. But then thirdly, the trial of faith. The child grew, and one day it's harvest time, and he goes running out with his daddy into the fields. And he's out there with the reapers in the fields, and the sun is beating down. And he comes to his daddy and he says, my head, my head. It would seem that he had suffered perhaps from a sunstroke. He can't be sure, but anyway, the boy's head was very sore. So he called over one of the servants and told him to take him home to his mother. And she sits him upon her lap. And about noon, the little boy died. Before she had the little boy, she had no needs. And God gave her a little baby boy. And now she's very needy. Now she's got great pain in her heart. She's going through a terrific trial. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. And how hard it is to bless the name of the Lord when he takes from us the most precious thing we have. She had learned to cope without having a child. But then when she was given a child, and the child was taken away, how hard. And we can be like that. Things come into our life and they change our situation. And they make it so hard for us to cope with a trial. How difficult it is to be patient. How she must have thought in herself, why, Lord? You gave me a boy and you took him away. Why, Lord? You and I ask why sometimes. Things happen in our lives. Some disaster, some accident, some illness, some tragedy. Why, Lord? What is the reason? And so often we don't know the reason. And it's so perplexing. And it's so hard to endure. God's hand has come into our life in a painful way. And yet she doesn't despair. And she doesn't lose her faith. What does she do? She takes up her little dead boy and she goes upstairs and she lays him down on the prophet's bed. The prophet was the one who gave her, under the hand of God, who gave her this child. And the prophet, as the man of God, must be the one to sort out this catastrophe. And so, she goes out into the field to her husband. She asks her husband for an ass and a servant to go with her. She wants to go to the man of God. And he says, why? There's no special feast time. There's no special service on or special meetings. Why do you want to go to the man of God? It shall be well. She wasn't going to enter into any conversation. She just wanted to deal with God in this matter. And so she got onto the ass, and she and the servant went at full speed to Carmel, to where the man of God was. And Elisha sees her coming, and he says to Gehazi, yonder is the Shunammite. Go and meet her and ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And to Gehazi she said, it is well. She didn't want really to deal with Gehazi. Seems in a way that you could see through Gehazi. Elisha had been the servant of Elijah. And then he became the successor of Elijah, a mighty prophet himself. And it would seem that Elisha was trying to train up Gehazi in prophetic work and service. But the root of the matter wasn't in Gehazi. It would seem that he had never been born again. He was happy to work for the prophet and he would do certain things, but his heart was not with God. And so she comes to the man of God, gets down from her ass, throws herself at his feet and catches hold of him. And Gehazi comes near to push her away. This isn't right. This is an indiscretion. This isn't appropriate for a woman to come close to the holy man of God. But Elisha replies, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Elisha knew so many things, but he didn't know everything. Sometimes the Lord hid things from him. We are all imperfect. Sometimes we know things, and sometimes we have to say, I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't know why. Sometimes we have to admit ignorance, and it's wrong to pretend that we know everything. The Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. And then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Did I ask for a son? No, I was perfectly happy without a son. And then you gave me a son, and you took him away. So now Elisha knew. And notice how he responds. He says to Gehazi, the servant, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man on the way, salute him not. If anyone salute you, answer him not again. Go and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Don't talk to anyone. Don't let anything distract you. Set your heart upon this. Set your faith upon the Lord. Go with the staff. Be sure that nothing will distract you. Set your mind on God and plead with God to restore the life of the child. But Gehazi, he just didn't have that. Didn't have the faith. Didn't have that relationship with God. He went, he took the staff, laid it upon the child's face, and nothing happened. The prophet's servant couldn't bring the child to life, and the prophet's staff couldn't bring the child to life. The woman well knew the situation. She said to Elisha, verse 30, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. These words remind us of how Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay in Gilgal. God has sent me to Bethel. As thy soul liveth, and as the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee." And he went with Elijah to Bethel, and on from there to Jericho, and on from there to Jordan. He would not leave. And this woman will not leave. She is clinging in faith to the Lord's servant and to the Lord himself. So he arose and followed her, and they came to the house. And Gehazi came back and said, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha came to the house, he shut the door, shut everybody out. He was going to deal with God. And he had to deal with God alone in real earnestness. In a sense, there was a lesson here for Elisha too. You think it's enough to send your servant and to send your staff. But no, you are limited, and you must plead for power, and you must pray for the blessing, and you must keep on praying for the blessing, and you will not get it until you really plead earnestly for it. So he went in, and he lay upon the child. He put his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands upon the child's hands, and stretched himself upon the child. What was this all about? It was a prayer from the Lord to bring life to the child. It wasn't some kind of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. No, the child was long dead, long past that point. No, no, this was him praying to the Lord that even as the Lord had given life to the prophet, so God would give life to this dead child. And as he stretched himself upon the child began to get warm. And then he returned and he walked to and fro in the house, walking and praying and praying and walking, walking and praying and praying and walking. He had come. His staff couldn't bring the child to life. His first stretching of himself upon the child couldn't bring the child to life. And here he is pleading with the Lord. You gave this woman a child. Now you've taken the child away. Lord, have mercy upon this woman and restore her child to her. And he went up again and stretched himself upon the child. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. A wonderful health-giving sneeze. Child coming to life. Opening his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she came in and said, "Take up thy son." She went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. Took up her son and went out. You can imagine the absolute delight, the ecstatic joy of this woman. God has restored me my son. is alive and is well. The Lord has tried me, but not to death. He has tried me, but he's taken me out of the trial. He put me through fire and water, but he brought me to a wealthy place. Rejoice in tribulation, for tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost whom he hath given unto us. The Lord's goodness to this woman, restoring her child. A happy ending, wonderful ending to this story. It's always a happy ending with God's people. The best is yet to be. Trials and tribulations, but conquest and victory. I was reading in one commentary. Commentator was talking about another woman whose child was restored, the widow of Nain. Nain was on the north side of the hill of Moreh. Shunem was on the south side. He drew a picture. Two women who lost their sons, the widow of Nain and the Shunammite, walking up the hill to meet each other. They reach the top and they shout, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Yes, conquest over death. And friends, death conquers us, it seems, in this life. But it shall not have the victory. We shall conquer. We shall overcome. We shall overcome death. We lay our loved ones in the grave, but it's only for a little time. We close the earth over them, but they are lying there just for a few fleeting years. And then they will arise and enter with us into glory for life everlasting. Death has been conquered. The grave has been overcome. Christ is the victor, more than conquerors, through him who loved us. Friends, there's nothing more certain than death. We see it all around us. But there's victory. Christ rose, and we shall rise. Death has been conquered. Death is temporary. Everlasting life lies ahead of us. Friends, do you have this relationship with Christ, who is the resurrection and the life? He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus is the resurrection. Is Jesus yours? He is freely offered to you in the gospel. Have you claimed him for yourself? Are you more than conquerors through him who loved you? Will you too be able to say to death, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Yes, we see death at work. We see illness in our loved ones, and it grieves our heart that they are taken from us. Here we have no continuing city. There is a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There's a new Jerusalem, there's a heaven, there's a paradise, there's a glory unspeakable before us. So friends, we are not those who mourn without hope. We are those who rejoice with great hope Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he is our hope. And he is our Savior.